Welcome to my website. Thank you for coming by today. I'm glad that you could take some time out. Controversial, right? That's what we're talking about here. Okay. You may not think I'm the right person to chide in on this subject matter because I've just started to delve head first into football. All the new rules, the new stadiums, the new football fields, no grass. Boy. The NFL making money. Dealing with the diversity of players, their backgrounds, their influences. Well, I want to cut to the nitty-gritty. Did Mr. Grusin, the ex-head of the Las Vegas Raiders, what should he have done? I just spoke with one young man, and I've been watching all the commentators. Everybody's taking the right. They're taking the right section here in this football thing. That, hey, man, you. Somebody got to go down. We can't talk about what we feel. We can't express it. We can't. We've given up a right to do that. We can't speak our hearts. We can't speak it to friends or enemies alike. I'm gonna pause the music right now because NFL primetime themes on the internet. And that way you won't have to look through your musical stacks. You can find it all here ready for you. A friend of mine called me today and he was visiting a friend of his in Chicago. I met the gentleman. We cordially spoke. And I said, before I hung up, I said, oh, you're in Chicago. I said, you better watch out because if you're in downtown Chicago, a lot of the white businesses there really don't care for African Americans. They don't care for us. They'll smile in your face and do all that, but Chicago has always been a city where racial tensions are very high. And I'm just going back in history. I knew of a white theologue that was from a certain part of Chicago that came on the radio after I went off. And he came from that district in Chicago, and they never did care for black people. It's just racial tension in certain parts of the country. And upon my saying that, the conversation ended abruptly. And I said, why did he... Because, John, you made a mistake. John, you made a mistake. You can't even speak what you know to be true to a friend nowadays, especially if you're using the social networks, because if anybody gets wind or air to that conversation that you had or is having, that could disturb your money intake, your popularity, the way people view you as a person. And it goes all the way back to the destruction of a man's career. John Gruden's career is done as a head coach of an NFL team. And he, in my estimate, was the coach that could have brought the Raiders in that stadium where they are up to par. He's a hard line coach. Always been that way. As a matter of fact, it was early in the weekend, the black coach, his name escapes me, but he commented for John, and he said that he never seen any kind of racial intentions in this man. But now here's a black man that was a coach of a leading NFL team, and there's been a few. And I'm taking my time with this because I know that language, nobody cares about getting me kicked off my own website. Ain't nobody going to do that. They're going to have to, as long as I'm paying my bill for my for my website and keeping it within the law of language. See, that's why. This is johnecoleman.org. This ain't no organization with a bunch of lily-livered socialists that wants everybody to speak the same language. You know, when things happen like this, I'm amazed. I was watching one thing. I guess if I go back, one commentator, a black commentator, black sports commentator, and he was talking about how he's tired of the black national anthem being played in the stadiums, and there's not enough black executives up in the hierarchy in the NFL. And I, you know, recently I thought about, because I watch college football also, I wanted a friend of mine to call me before I did the webcast, if he gets a message and calls me, because I told him what I was doing. And his son plays football. And I wanted his take on it. I understand that the emails that are in question here that Mr. Gruden was on was the Washington football team's emails. And whatever, if he had gone to a Gmail and had his own private computer and wrote his friend about his thoughts about this black man, I wonder, because I make negative statements about white people all the time. I see a white policeman, I hear a white man shot somebody and ran over four people, and a white policeman set him down and bring him a cup of coffee and read him his rights and ask him if he's feeling all right. Does he need a doctor? Wait, he just shot two other people and run over some other people. And these white policemen are treating this danger to humanity. This white boy that did all this stuff, like he's the Prince of Peace. Now that's wrong. And if I can't speak out wrong against those white officers, I would say those lily-livered punks, I guess I'd lose my job, huh? Well, you can't tell people what you really feel. Why not? You know, the description was about this brother's lips. Big old lips. It's common knowledge that many African-American males and females have beautiful, large lips. And Anglos, some of them have large lips if they pump silicone all up in their mouth. You remember Paul and Jan Crouch, they both dead now, I believe. The owners of this Channel 40 TBN, Jan, lips was all beat out of shape. I see a lot of white women trying to get their lips big. But here John makes a statement about a brother's lips and other statements that he made. I guess they're calling him an internet troll. And you know what made me back up? I've always had a big mouth. I've always run my mouth in a way that could bring lawsuits on me. But when I was a radio commentator, I was very, very cautious about that. I love watching the football games today. And I was speaking with a friend of mine over the phone. Troy Aikman is a very good commentator. Troy Aikman played for UCLA football. Then the Dallas Cowboys picked him up. He was one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played for the Dallas football team. He knows football. He knows football. When Troy Aikman makes football comments, they're accurate. I love the way he uses the pen and diagrams with the quarterback that throws to a receiver that nobody else saw but Troy Aikman, because he was a quarterback. He knows what a quarterback has to do, how he has to watch the whole field, everything, based upon the play that comes in that helmet. From upstairs or down on the line, Troy Aikman was good at that. I know a lot of quarterbacks that were never good at that. And one of them that was never good at that was Doug Williams. He happened to be black. And I think Doug played for the then Washington Redskins. I watched that Jackson guy last night on Monday Night Football. He had a horrible game, and that was his problem. That's why his receivers kept dropping the ball. He ain't paying attention to what's happening on the field. Now, do I expect Troy to say, well, Jackson's not paying attention? No, because somebody's going to get him on a racial taunt. And so what happened to commentators must now remain silent, because they can only say something positive about the game, where it's going. Are you going to have, and I'm black, so don't get it twisted, and I'm not an Oreo. Don't get it twisted. I know enough about football to know a good play when I see one. But I damn sure know this, that I have a right to wager my opinion on my own webcast, on my own website, in my own office, from my own brain to the people that listen to me. I think it is shame that man, well, not in the NFL anyhow. They may give him a high school coach job, a junior college, maybe a lower level university. I hope whatever Gruden does, that he takes it to the limit. And I don't care what color he is, whether he's white, black, Asian, American, Indian, whatever, Hispanic, take it to the limit, man. Because in this country, now, because this is what this issue is. This issue is tongue control, mind control, attitude control. I was telling a young black man earlier, I said, that's just like some feminized male. I've been watching some of the commentators. One of them on NFL, I don't know his name. I don't care what his name is, black guy. He got to bemoaning the fact about the things that he didn't like. Well, he got a platform. He's sitting there at a mic. Here's a white boy that lost his job. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, there's a hell of a lot of people that Gruden had in his corner. Hell of a lot. And a lot of them aren't going to say anything because that is what they can do to you now. They can destroy you. I recall when I was pastoring the church. Oh, no, I got to bring some illustrations. Because I was a professional. This woman couldn't sing. She had no business in the choir. I went by her house. Rest her soul. I said, look, I'm trying to build a worship community where we can concentrate on God's word. And when I got people standing behind me that can't adequately sing or hold a note, that is not the call that I wanted. But I'm going to ask him first. Would he be willing to become a participant in this conversation? Hello, Reggie. How are you?
What's going on? You been hearing anything about the bullshit about the last night?
Wait a minute. I am doing a webcast right now.
Okay, well, call me back.
No, wait a minute. Is our conversation concerning John Gruden?
Pretty much.
All right, I want you to watch your language because I'm 18 minutes into a webcast. Do you, and I want you, the listening audience, to know that I haven't groomed or cautioned Reggie about anything but his language. Do you believe that man should be stricken from being a head coach of any NFL team for life?
Absolutely. He shouldn't be a commentator either.
Now, I would like you to explain to the people, does he have a right to give his opinion to his friends when the microphone is turned off?
He can talk to his friends any kind of way, but you don't...
Wait a minute. The person that he sent the email to about the brother's lips... That was a private conversation. What Gruden did is he had the conversation on the Washington football team's email. That's what made it public.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's what got... No. He was making statements to someone that he felt would understand his strong feelings about what this black man was saying about him at the time. Because at that time, the Washington football team had many allegations brought against it from women at that time. That's when they were called the Redskins. I'm asking you a current question. Does a man have the right to give his opinion to his friends, and he should not be fearful of that information getting out.
No, he shouldn't be able to do that to his friends, because what he do, just like the commentator said last night, football game, when you do it in the dark, it's going to basically come in light. So you shouldn't even deal with it.
Wait a minute. Hold it. What you do in the dark,
it's going to eventually come to light. So you shouldn't even talk like he was talking.
And so if I and you are a black man and I'm a black man.
Right.
And if we saw a white cop choke out a black man and killed him, and if we were having a conversation and we said that white MF a blankety 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 blank, do I have the right in a private conversation with you to bescathe that white cop that killed that black man? Yes or no? Yes, I have the right.
Yeah, you have a right to say that. Yeah, me too.
All right, wait a minute.
Okay.
John was merely having a conversation on email with someone that was high up in the league. And it was the New York Times or one of those news agencies that got the emails and put it out. Because in my opinion, Reggie, the leftists are going to use this kind of behavior to bescathe anyone they want in the future. It's going to make the commentator, in other words, Troy Aikman. I love to hear him talk about football games. Troy Aikman played for UCLA. He played for the Dallas Cowboys. He was one of the greatest quarterbacks. He knows the game. Troy Aikman, when he repeats a play, he says, look at the quarterback looking to the left, but he threw to the right. Now, when you look at Jackson last night playing, he never did that. That's why they knew where he was throwing, and they countermanded every play. There are certain quarterbacks that are not up to the level of a Troy Aikman. But you know what? If Troy commentated that game, he would not be able to say that, because he would be accused of being a racist.
Yeah.
Yes, see what I mean? This thing gets touchy, man. And when it gets like that, that means that a man can't say what he knows he's feeling in his heart for fear of what happened to John Gruden.
And you know what, now I think about it, you're absolutely right about that.
Right. Man, John was a good damn coach. And you know what, all of us got our problems, our ways about us. John looks like that, you know, that little cartoon character that's a monster. He looks like that guy when Chucky the killer. That's the way he be frowning up when his team members mess up. That's his personality. But to man, that guy's no racist. See, man, they've taken this too.
I never thought he was racist, but you gotta watch his mouth and watch who he's emailing to.
If you watch what you're doing, a man is not gonna do that. A man ain't no woman. He ain't gonna tip.
But there we go. See, a man, today we're in conversation, but now the person he's emailing, all of a sudden now he gonna leak it to somebody else that he said didn't show what he said. See, that's bullcrap. He should have never did that.
Well, of course he shouldn't have. But you see, because they're acting like, they're feminized, man. They're feminized. And then you got all the other black athletes, yeah, that wasn't right. I don't think that was right. You know what, man? I heard a black athlete say on an NFL station that in the main office, they have more white people in charge than blacks. Well, anyhow. Well, I'm glad you called.
At least I met myself longer than the other guy. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, he got company. Well, there you heard Reggie's opinion. And you hear Reggie. See, this is being talked about all over. I'm just trying to add. Yeah, all right then. Handle that. I'll talk to you later. Bye. See, I'm glad he called. But you see the way I framed my reference? You see what I did? See, this racial bull crap has been taken to a level that it has no business going to. Gruden is not a racist. Gruden also has a right, a fundamental right as an American citizen. That's freedom. That's what it is. Just like I have a right. He put it out to the wrong person, and he did it on the wrong format. And I know if he wished he could go back, he'd be using Gmail or some other internet service where you can send email. Don't nobody know what you're saying, but you and the other person, and then it disappears in the ionosphere somewhere. That's what he should have done. Because when you are rich and well-addressed at what you do, that's why the song and the artist and all of them are very careful about the music that they create and who's copying it. And if you use this tune or that line, they can sue you. But did you hear the way I asked Reggie the question? And did you hear how I put the question? Here's the caller that I wanted to call to discuss that. But how are you doing, Zarek? So I'm doing the
What's up, man?
I want you to I'm doing the webcast now. I'm about 27 minutes into it. The subject matter is Gruden. Okay. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, depends on what you mean by Gruden.
No, Gruden, John Gruden.
I don't know what's going on with Gruden. Are you talking about the football coach?
Yes.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay. Well, you haven't studied it. It's all over. It's all over. He resigned from the Oakland Raiders at the behest of Mr. Davis, the owner of the team, because he was sent a group of emails from, I think, the New York Times, where Gruden had a discussion with someone else high in the office in the NFL, where he was talking about the lips of a black man being thick as a tire. And
oh, okay. So you're talking about caricatures that, that powerful Caucasians make are in private.
Yes. The same kind of way that black people make in private about white people when they talk with their friends. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. So what you want to know?
I don't want to know nothing. I just want your take on it. My take on it is that Gruden had a right to say anything he wanted to a person that he could trust that he's talking to. He didn't know that that stuff was going to get out. And I'm saying that in this country, you have a right to have a private conversation with a friend of yours, but not to be branded as a racist and stricken from a job when somebody that didn't like your opinion, you see, because that's all that happened. And I was just telling my audience to let them know that the dialectic is at work again. Everybody got to think alike, speak alike, behave alike, and do all that. No, we don't.
My question to the audience would be, are private thoughts or intentional emails to private people now part of public disclosure?
There you go. See?
Hold on, wait a minute. And if not, right? If not, because I could give a, well, and it's just me, right? I think Gruden's disposition is a little bit different because the causality of his thoughts permeated his
demeanor.
Making.
His demeanor has been like that ever since before he became an NFL head coach.
Well, okay, so again, right? One would ask the question, does the thought of a person, does the crassness,
good,
does the remark,
good,
deserve to be
good,
executed in public?
Good.
Right?
Good.
One would ask that question. So
yes,
I would say, irregardless of what a person says, I look towards the person's actions.
Yes.
As to what they do. Now, Gruden, in one aspect, has been proven. Well, okay, so everybody knows Gruden has been technically termed as a butthole. Everybody knows that.
Yes, I know, because of his disposition.
People know that he's been that. Now, it could be that he's a butthole because of his arrogance. It could be that's part, yes, of his personality.
Yes.
But then it also could be whether or not he's prejudiced or not. It could be.
But that is not the issue. You can't do that. Every time my brothers and sisters have a problem, they raise the issue of racism. And if I were white, because John has a lot of white friends, professionals, and leftists and right, all of them love the man because of his work. Man, we have to stop this. This man, look, I understand Davis wanting him not to be the head coach because they just built that stadium in Las Vegas. Money got to come in. These boys don't want to lose no money. And so they had to get rid of him. This is a money thing, but look what it did to his life.
Okay, but there are a couple of things going on. Like you said, when it talks about the Hegelian dialectic, and if no one knows how you're brought into synthesis,
right,
is crucial.
Yes.
See, before you were brought into consensus via the absolute non-acquiescence of the antithesis.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So now the pendulum has changed from not an antithesis, but an emotional feeling.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with the thesis antithesis altogether, but it's emotionally based.
Right.
So then it further takes the person. That's why Biden can say, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black.
Right.
Like, voting for him has a tenureship in the black community, which it doesn't. However, the new form of the Hegelian dialect is to move your emotion,
yeah,
and bypass your intellect.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if people are being aware, it doesn't matter. See, this is where people are arguing, right? We got rid of Gruden.
Right.
That dude is old. He's older than me, in his 60s, got an NFL championship, and has a ton of money.
Yes.
His leaving the NFL is not going to affect him or shade him or not.
No, it's not.
Because he is no different than Donald Trump.
But the NFL is feminized because it allowed this process to work within their ranks. And they should have locked arms together and said, we know this man not to be to the degree of what we're saying. And to show our confidence in him, we would ask that Mr. Davis would hold him in that position and then let Gruden bring the Raiders to a world championship. That's what should have happened. But because of the dialectic, but because of these individuals thinking with their feminized brains, look at what they did. And they'll do it to you, they'll do it to me, and they'll do it to anybody.
Right. Well, they've already done it to the masses because the masses don't know how to think logically. In other words, because we learned this. Was that Thomas Aquinas that said that a person that has not even considered or taken the point to consider his being is not worth the living? Was that Thomas Aquinas that said that?
No, that was Socrates.
Socrates, and right.
Unexamined life is not worth the living, yes.
Right. So individuals now are good with not concerning themselves
right,
about the life that they, not only them, but everyone else. sales because it's give me a stimulus check, give me my 2 seconds of this, and I'm
right.
fine.
Right.
However, this is where the lunacy comes in. The lunacy becomes this. This becomes the question of the logic plausibility. A, individuals coming to this country are hungry.
Right.
B, that means that they need to violate the law to be in this country. So C justifies all of it. But then when you ask the question, is everyone that's hungry need to have the ability to break any particular law? And the obvious answer is no. So when you take a real nice drive down Santa Barbara Boulevard, that is now Martin Luther King Boulevard, and make a hard left on Figueroa, you see many, many people that are citizens of this country, but they're poor too. And the question becomes, do you, in a thesis point of view, disregard those that are your own to take care of those that are not your own and justify it because of a consensus? See, it's bigger than football and Gruden, John, because what they have to do is they have to destroy the money-making scheme. They have to destroy the pendulum of what it is. So you got this, just like with Las Vegas, in L.A. you have this big, huge stadium being built.
Yes.
For tons of people. Now, I know some people that work at the stadium.
Okay.
That at the last NFL game, you had individuals paying tips in excess of $1,000. Tips.
Wow.
Did you hear me?
I'm listening.
Did you hear me, Jeff? Individuals throwing out, you talking about making it rain. Individuals giving out $300-$400 tips. Go get me a beer. And I just bet him blah 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 blah. So I have to give you $500. Here's your $500. Go get my beer. Tips.
My God, man.
Where those individuals get out, they come out of the SoFi Stadium, drive down Century Boulevard, and as they're entering the freeway, they see an encampment of homeless people and continue driving as if nothing ever happened.
Right.
Because the synthesis is, I can destroy somebody's life based on a tweet, based on a Gmail, based on this, because it doesn't meet my thesis. And all of those that have a linguistical thinking brain, I'm going to destroy their lives through Facebook, Twitter, social media, memes, to where they can't think.
Right.
And so when I really pull the wolves off their eyes and do them, they won't know what's happening to them. It's exactly the same thing that happened in Germany.
Yes.
When Hitler was doing what he's doing. It was Yes. the exact same thing.
And everybody was walking around saying, no, we didn't know what was going on.
Wait a minute, John. What was that movie you were looking at on Netflix where you were talking about the soldiers in the Third Reich, that it was just business when they began to annihilate? They're older now. They were in their 80s. And they were talking about the Holocaust.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they were part of that regime. Well, they were bred to not have a thinking brain, to where individuals and people became objects rather than humans. And it's the same thing that's going on now. Because people could turn around and say, yeah, Gruden's gone. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. So you mean to tell me your private thoughts between you and a person in a room, or your best friend, when you're cavalierly talking between two people, now all of a sudden you would desire for your thoughts to be exposed as Gmail the way his was?
And you know what, Derek, you hit it right on the head, because I have conversations at least once a week with a myriad of friends of mine where I'm speaking negative about other human beings, but it's not meant in the fashion to destroy them. It's just
hold on,
me.
Hold on. Can we keep it 100?
Let's do that.
Can we keep it 100?
Yes.
Okay, now, so I'm going to throw out a disclaimer. Some of the things that I might say might be damaging to your mind, your spirit, your well-being, even your sanity. But I share it in love. So if you think that Pastor Zerix is about to mess your head up, then what you can do is mute the conversation for roughly a minute and a half and then come back and join us. Mm-hmm. But John, do you remember when we were doing radio?
Of course I do.
And do you remember when we had this beautiful young lady that came into the studio trying to push her music?
Oh, yes, I do.
And do you remember that her bust size was comparable to Dolly Parton?
I do recall that night.
Okay, and you also remember that there was a guy that was older that was in ministry with us.
Yes.
That had a bustier pride. He could not take his eyes off of her bust.
He was stupefied in the booth.
Like a teenager looking at Cardi B,
yes,
or Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
He was stupefied,
yes,
right? Well, there was a conversation that happened later to where that individual had made a remark against your sexuality. And in response, you said, at least, Milford, I know how to conduct an interview without drooling over myself over someone's breast.
Yes.
And you couldn't even have the courtesy to respect a girl that could
right
have been your daughter. Now,
right,
now, if that private conversation would have went viral,
right,
today most people would have discounted you and him because they didn't understand, A, the subject matter.
Right.
They didn't understand the intent, number two, and the fact that the female was harmless in the conversation because it was driver of bigger intent.
Yes. Yes.
Now, so with that being said, how many times have you listening audience called somebody out of their name? Called them out of their sexuality? Called them out of their persuasion? Called them out of their preference.
Right.
But it was a vent, and it was not used in any way to harm the other person. It was a vent or a conversation.
Right.
Now, the only thing that I would have against Gruden is the fact that Gruden, not only was he just a crass, disrespectful dude that ran his mouth, Gruden at times did use his power to shade other African Americans. But it was just wasn't African American. He was just a butthole. That's what he did towards a whole lot of people,
yes,
including the USC wide receiver that played for USC, John or Keyshawn Jackson. Keyshawn, when he played for the Raiders, was very vocal about Gruden the way he was. But Keyshawn called him a butthole. He didn't call him a racist.
Right.
He was a butthole.
Right.
And there's a difference between a butthole and a racist. There's,
yes,
a huge difference.
You know?
But again, everybody's yelling and screaming about Gruden, and they don't understand that rather than looking intently at the discussion or the subject matter, remember, you used to say that we are to sanctify ourselves and look at what it means to be a believer, not say that you're a believer.
Yes.
But look at the scriptures intently to search them to see who and what you are, and then provide theories as to why you are the way you are. We no longer do that. We no longer get into the position of why did Gruden do what he did? Did he have liberty to do it? Did he have a right to do it? Was what he did it harm the overall organization that he worked for? All those things taken into consideration, and then apply that same measure of judgment to ourselves.
Do you think that there will ever be a commentator, white or black or Hispanic or whatever, that will take the opinion that you and I have taken and will mouth that opinion over the airways?
No, because I think the only person that would, and he's being canceled right now, is Dave Chappelle. If you had a chance to go look at his Netflix.
No, somebody told me that Netflix decided to keep him on.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, because.
Now, the reason that they did with him is not because they happen to like Dave Chappelle. They're pushing, if you don't know how to look at this new narrative.
Right.
If you don't know how to deduce.
Yes.
The ability to think independently. See,
this is what killed Gruden. That's what killed Gruden, because Dave Chappelle, I saw the clip when he was explaining his other jokes made like that, and he qualified what he was saying. Gruden just stood at the news conference and said, yes, I said that, but we just are going to move on. See, when he said to move on like that without any other explanation, that showed his butthole disposition, and that's why they pushed for his resignation.
Well, yeah, well, see, for me, I wouldn't necessarily take things away from Gruden. That's a smaller perspective of a bigger problem that most people are not seeing. They're just seeing the outcast and the lash and the kickback, and they're not looking at the bigger picture. What does that mean? What does that, when you start doing those types of movements, what does that mean to fire someone over an email?
Yeah.
What does it mean to cancel someone because they call a person out of their name? What does it mean? So you mean to tell me that technically right now you can destroy someone's livelihood because do you really want to go down that road that everybody must conform to the masses? Because when you do that, you have to understand that you're not in control. You're not even the quarter of individuals that's in control.
Right.
It is like the movie 2012. When the guy was sitting there talking, he said, a billion dollars is a lot. And he looked at the Arab dude. He said, that's a billion in euros, not Arabic money. It wasn't a billion in that. In 2012, he looked at him and said, no, it's a billion euros. And that dude was like, oh, wow. Because when the world begins to finalize these arcs and finalize who's going to be on top of this upper echelon, the people that they're hoodwinking are not them, they're you. It's the local people.
Yeah.
You have
adequately answered the question. You were the second guy that called. The first guy was Reggie. Reggie comes and spend at least one day a week with me, and we watch and discuss football, and that's why I call you earlier, because your son plays football, and I know that you are well into all this commentating and all this kind of stuff. And I appreciate your insight. And it's amazing, man, how what gets me is that a lot of black athletes, because it was this crack on the size of our lips, that doesn't even offend me. Most brothers have large lips, and I think that's a beautiful thing. The better to smack you. But...
This is the bigger issue. So you mean to tell me just because a powerful Caucasian dude bagged on a black player doesn't go both ways? So you mean to tell me Gruden is fired because he's offensive and he made a crack joke about a black player, but that black player does not make the same crack joke about Gruden? And his small lips.
Thank you.
And the fact that, I mean, if you were talking about joking, you'd be like, Gruden, my lips would be big, but when I kiss my wife, she's kissing my lips and not my doggone teeth because you don't have no lips. I mean, if you're talking about being comedic, then everybody needs the availability to be comedic and clap back.
Yes.
The problem is people are so sensitive from clapping back. I'm just going to be honest, John. Men aren't men. Gay men aren't men.
Right.
Transgender men aren't men.
There you go.
And because an individual is a male, regardless of whatever his persuasion is, you want to take that from him. No. Excuse me. I got testicles.
Yes.
And allow me to be who I am with my testicles.
Yes. Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And allow my mouth to be just as strong as my testicles.
Yes.
Because when you emasculate a person,
yes,
he still has the right to say, "Damn it, it hurts."
Yes, yes.
You know, I'll never forget, man. When I was 3 years old, Dr. Mouton came in and said, "Doctor," he said, "Son Zaris, I need you to tell your mama something. Tell your mama that the doctor's about to stick you with a needle and it's gonna hurt." And I was, "Wait, what?" Till that dude stuck that needle in my buttock, and I started crying. He said, "I told you, Zaire, to tell your mama it hurts." And I'm sitting up here, screaming, "Yes, it hurts." He said, "Now tell mama it hurts a whole lot." "Oh, yes, it hurts." Then when it was done, the doctor, even though he administered pain, didn't stop me from vocalizing that pain.
Absolutely.
And what individuals are doing nowadays, they're saying, shut up, take it, don't even verbalize against it, and right. just go sit over in the corner somewhere and imagine that it didn't happen.
Yes.
Well, you out your damn mind. I ain't going to turn around and imagine that you just did me and did what. No, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But again, it's about getting a doggone stimulus check.
Yeah.
Sit over and do nothing. And we got all these people doing it. And you've already heard the news media and say that China is going to be running the world in 20 years.
Yes.
You already heard that technically right now America's second fiddle, and we don't even act like a second fiddle. Yeah. We're walking around with our head, derriere's heads in the air,
yes.
as if life don't exist because we've been Hegelianized.
The yes.
praxis that you talked about in 2005,
yes.
2006 is happening. And guess what, John? The smart people don't even recognize that. Forget the dumb people.
Right. Right.
The intellectuals don't even know that it's happening to them.
Because they're all trying to hold on to their jobs and their position and their money. And the principle of life has been castigated to a garbage dump. Zarix, I appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for calling me back. And another thing, I'm enjoying those fantastic runs that your son is doing. Both on the offense and the defense on that little team. He's going to be a great player.
Thanks, man.
All right. We'll be talking soon. All right. Bye-bye. Well, that was the phone call that I wanted to make, because I'm sure that after you hearing that, I'm not the only one that sees what's happening. He knows a hell of a lot more about football than I do. But did you hear the way both Reggie and Zarix handled the call? Were we arguing with each other? No. Men are looking for facts. I wish John, the ex-coach of the Raiders, a successful life, because I know that somebody that got good sense is going to hire that man. He knows his football, and it would be such a waste, even if he is a day over 60, just to see him fade and fade away. Whatever team he gets are going to have blacks on it and whites on it. He's going to be super critical. Not super, super raw. That one. He is going to be critical of bad behavior on a football team. And he will demand excellence, because that's the school that he grew up in. And he is entitled, as I am, from this day in this country, the United States of America, to wager his opinion. And if he ever listens to this, I would say, John, don't even feel bad about it, brother. It's the system that you're in, and everybody's trying to keep that money coming in. Well, thank you, folks, for coming to my website. I appreciate God giving me the time to talk to you. And thank you, Reginald Culver and Pastor Zarix Reamer, for your contributions into this marvelous, marvelous thing that I'm doing. God bless.